Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting you closer to the TV shows you love. I'm Ashley Ray, a comedian, writer, and former TV critic, and each week my friends, fellow comedians, actors, writers will drop by to dive into the best TV shows we're all talking about right now. All right, let's get into it. Listeners, I am so excited for this episode. Darcy, welcome to TV Club. You know Darcy Carden as Janet from The Good Place, Greta Gil from A League of Their Own, Justice for A League of Their Own also, and from her new podcast, Wiki Hole. Thank you for joining us today.
Ashley, thank you for having me so much. Justice for A League of Their Own. I love that.
Yes, I am truly such a fan of like everything you've done. You're so funny. And now I'm excited for this new podcast because I get lost in many a wiki hole.
Don't we all? We really, it's the way we consume our internet. It's like, there's great things about it. We're learning a lot. We're learning more than we ever learned before, but it's all giving us bad brains. It's making our brains, I don't know if it's making our brains swell or shrink. There's some science behind it. It's not good.
It can't be good. I don't think I'm supposed to be aware of all of this.
We know too much. Yeah. It is, you know, going down a wiki hole is such a like common occurrence. I was talking about it with my sisters, how often you go to look something up and then, you know, sometimes it's like 90 seconds, sometimes it's like 90 minutes. You're so far away from where you began that you don't even remember where you began. I mean, how often have you like put your phone down and been like, wait, what the hell was I even looking? I know I came here for something.
For something.
And now then I'm know just like yeah. The birthplace of, you know, Tutankhamun. I don't know.
I think my most recent one, I started with, I was obviously looking up Boeing airplanes because I had to see what was going on there. What was the history of it? Why are these planes falling out of the sky?
And I don't even want to know.
They didn't get an answer. Did
good. I don't want.
But from there, I went from like single survivors of plane crashes, and from there to like some form of therapy for survivor's guilt. And the next thing I knew, I somehow was like on the page of Janis Joplin, and I'm like, how did I? How did we get here?
That's so great. That's so great. Oh, I just had like a fun. Maybe there's like a fun thing we can do. Wait, okay. Well, anyway, all of a sudden I'm like, my brain's going because sometimes it's fun to think if you had told me that you went from Boeing airplane to Janis Joplin, it's kind of fun to try to figure out how'd
you get there?
Yeah. There was one episode. Who was it? Maybe it was Guy Branum where he did sort of, he kept guessing by accident, but he kept guessing what the next hole we were going down was like he would bring up the next thing and you know ruin my damn question, but
that's very much like Guy. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What is maybe the craziest wiki hole you've been down?
Okay, I have to be honest with you for a second. I have the kind of brain that is bad, and I don't retain jack shit.
Yeah.
So, okay, not to say I can't remember a wiki hole that I've been down, but I'm really learning a lot when I'm in the hole. You know what I mean? And then I come out and I'll like want to go tell my husband or something what I just learned, and the way I can't remember is alarming. You know, I'll be like, and it was okay, I don't remember the year, but this guy, I don't know his name, but he said, well, he didn't say it, but he heard it. And like, I just have no, I'm, I don't have that kind of brain. I don't know what kind of brain that is, but I wish I did. I feel like you do. I feel like you have a good smart brain.
I can remember bits. And like, as long as I'm interested in it, I'll remember. Yeah. And then 6 months later, I will reread the same Wikipedia page and be like, whoa, this is wild. And then I'm like, I have read this before. I have 100% read this before. I know this story. I watched 3 documentaries about it. And never mind.
There's so much. I mean, not to be so like the year 2024, but there's so much to know. We can know everything. And sometimes I don't want to know everything.
It's too much. I will say one of my favorite wiki places to start my hometown, Rockford, Illinois.
Getting it right back to League of Their Own.
You went there, right?
Yes. We didn't actually shoot there, but okay, let me just think of the 2 times I've been there. We premiered the first season. Oh, that's a heartbreak, isn't it? Because there's only one season. But we premiered the only season there, oh, yeah. and got some good love for the,
oh,
for the,
I know,
for the town.
Because it was the most exciting thing that happened in Rockford in
since
centuries,
the 90s,
probably.
Yeah, right.
yeah,
right.
Since the 90s.
Since the movie came out. Yeah. And then also when we shot the show, we shot it in Pittsburgh.
Right.
My husband and my dog and I went on a road trip from LA to Pittsburgh, and we stopped in Rockford. This is so cheesy, but we stopped in Rockford overnight, and we went to the baseball field.
The Rockford Pete, yeah.
Yeah. And we, and no, it's not cheesy, actually. It's wonderful. And it's almost like, I mean, it's a real working baseball field.
Yeah.
But it's, it has all the, you've been,
I literally,
sure,
grew up three blocks away. That
Hell
was
yes.
like my neighborhood.
We drove by your house. I actually,
probably, yeah.
I'm sure we did. And it's not like, it's almost like an outdoor museum, right? There's like all these plaques and pictures, and it is so, I was like moved to tears. I really was. I felt the damn ghosts. I felt yeah. like our baseball ancestors there. And it was like such a nice way to, you know, days before we started shooting, it was like such a great trip. It was maybe the cheesiest thing I did, though, is I did in fact run the bases. I just had to run those bases.
Yeah.
You know, just, it was, maybe I was getting into character or something, but it was really nice. It was a really, really, really nice place to visit.
Yeah,
lovely.
I mean, the show, I thought, did a great job of bringing to life the downtown area, which
yeah.
still looks like it did
it
in
does.
The show. It
yes.
has not really changed.
It's amazing.
Like, I was watching it, I'd be like, oh my gosh, that church really is in the background here. Like, oh wow,
yes.
they did a great job with the CGI
good.
And stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
good.
Otherwise,
I'm so glad.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a good time there, because that's
just...
probably one of the few fun things to do there.
okay, point taken. But it really, it's special. It's really, really special.
Yeah, it's a special place. Yeah, and that... Sadly, the most recent time it was in the news was there was a mass stabbing that happened like last
mass.
Week. And
why does it have to be mass?
Right.
Why can't it have been one single? Mass is rough.
Right. And it was like this wild thing where he like ran to different houses, and I was wearing my like Rockford care shirt that I got out. And this guy was like, Rockford, why does that sound so familiar? Rockford sounds fun. And
just
I was like,
read about this.
Because there was this a shooting. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. That's rough.
Like,
maybe
yeah.
he was thinking of the baseball team.
Yeah. Maybe he was thinking of the.
And
or
he probably
Cheap
was.
Trick. Cheap
yeah,
Trick is from
that's right.
there too. We have that. So
you have that.
You know.
You can never take that away.
So I would love to talk more about A League of Their Own.
Okay.
As you all know, listeners, we aren't getting more of it. We were going to get a shortened second season that I was so looking forward to. And instead we are left with, I mean, one of my favorite first seasons of any show.
Oh.
Just the ensemble is perfect. The way they dig into all of these different women's lives and mm-hmm. tie them all together was so great. What was it like to work on that kind of a set? Was this, have you been on a project with just this many women, in the cast?
Yeah. No, I'm so happy to hear all that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. It was really magical. It really was. The cast, it was such an interesting experience because we were like baseball team first, you know, because as we were basically, as it was being cast, it started with Abby and Shantae and myself. And we started baseball practice three times a week, two times a week. And when it was just the three of us, and it was just the three of us for quite a while. So the three of us would meet at like 7 a.m. at this park in Silver Lake with our coach, Justine, and we'd play baseball. And then as people would join the cast, they'd start coming, Kelly and Melanie. And it was, we really gelled as a baseball team
yeah.
before. The funny thing about, you know, like, well, especially shooting a pilot is you meet the cast and you, it's so funny. I'm just seeing there's like feel free to edit this out. There's like a little buttons right here. And this one just says cough.
Oh yeah.
I love that. I feel like a real radio DJ. Okay. Back to what I was saying. See, this is what I'm saying. Bad brain. Okay. We were a baseball team for like months. Oh yeah. I was saying when you're on a pilot, you sometimes meet the actors the day before, the day
right.
of, and you kind of have to like fake this intimacy or this like years long friendship or marriage or whatever it is, you know, and that's part of acting and that's fine. But we really got these like months and months of being a baseball team. We would go to the batting cages and we would have these morning practices And it was almost like we forgot that we were going to shoot a show. Like that it was so much about baseball and we wanted it to look so good and authentic. And, you know, some of us really knew how to play baseball. Some of us had never picked up a bat. And so everybody was really like dedicated to making it look real. And, and then we got on set and we were like, oh yeah. And we're going to shoot a show. Cool. Okay. Right. No.
All right. Like the lines in that part of the acting.
Yes, let's memorize the lines. But it was this nice little, we jumped right into already knowing each other so well. It was just, it was pretty dreamy and pretty magical. And there was a lot of good, you said, you know, had I ever worked on a show with so many women, there was a lot of good female energy in front of the camera, behind the camera. It was like girl town. And it was, we were feeling it. There were vibes. It was energy. It was electric. It was so fun. It was just like warm and wonderful. And that just continued on until what we thought was going to be a second season. Not to be too dramatic, but it was, you know, we were getting ready to ship on out back to Pittsburgh. We were like, right about to do it. And then the news came, and it was just
devastating. And I think it made it very clear that the show had quickly built a dedicated fan base. They mobilized.
Actually, they still do. That's why it's hard for me to even talk about it as if it's over, because there's so much like love and hope for it still that I'm like, I know we're not, I don't know anything about a second season, but I'm like, but they think there is. So maybe there could be.
It could happen still, you know. I also think that dedicated fan base was super gay. Like we the gays, we came out for this show.
That's right.
I think it's so rare to see women loving women in television in this much diversity of just different kinds of lesbians all over the place in this
Not
era.
Not just the one. You know how often we get like one gay couple, one lesbian couple, whatever it
is. Or like the one like tomboy who you're like, oh, that's the one who's maybe gay.
Yeah. I do remember like early on, you know, friends asking about the show and you know, when I describe it, I would talk about the movie and I'd say, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, but I would say it's not quite as white and it's not quite as straight. And then they'd be like, oh, is there like a gay couple or a gay, you know? And I'm like, I don't think there are any not gay characters.
Yeah, like who is actually straight in the show?
Who be straight on the show? Which was so, it's so fun. And you know, it was, you know, I could talk for hours and hours about the love and support that we've gotten from the gay community. Gay community, does that sound right? Gay community. I know it's right, but it sounds... The gay community.
Yeah,
I love
the girls
the
and the
community.
Gays. The girls and the gays. They came out.
It's been, I will say, like life-changing. It's been wonderful. The support and the love and the, you know, man, oh man, we've just been so lucky with the fans of this show. Can't even quite put it into words. It's been life-changing.
I honestly don't think they're done fighting for it. I think they're going to keep going. They're going to be like, Netflix, someone pick this up.
Totally.
And I'll be right there.
Not to like fuel the fire or whatever, and I don't mean to tease, but I do feel like at some point the second season has to at least be told in a story. Do you know what I'm saying? The second it was written, we were about to shoot it. It's a beautiful story.
I hate when it's written, it's ready, the story is there.
We've been hearing too much of that lately, right? Like with Glow and with the movies that are getting shelved. It's like,
I love that for you. They had written the entire second season and then Showtime was just like, we make different shows now.
Yep.
So it's sad.
It's sad.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts. TV,
I say. It's time to get into the watch list. Darcy, what are you watching?
Okay.
What do you like to watch?
Okay. Well, I'm months too late, or at least weeks too late, but I am watching Traitors now.
Ugh.
And for sure, you've already talked about this, so we don't need to, right?
Oh, we can still talk about
okay.
it.
Okay.
Where are you? I'm not going to
yes,
spoil
good,
anything.
Good point, yes, good point. I think I'm only 4 episodes in. Let me just see. How do you guys deal with spoilers on this show? Do you talk
so
freely?
So for this, it's okay because the show ended,
yes,
so you can talk freely, and then I will be careful not to spoil things
okay.
for you.
Okay, so let me just think of who just got voted out. Ekin Su.
Ekin Su. Oh,
freaking
Lord.
Ekin Su.
Not Ekin
Mother
Su.
Yeah, not Ekin Su. And then one more person. Maybe I'm like, I'm in that episode. There would have been somebody voted out like in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Because yeah, that one, I think, because like Ekin Su was given the weird chalice
yes.
thing, and then they do a banishment, and then also someone dies, and it's
I
like a
say it was,
twofer.
Yeah, like an overnight. And I think it was Tamara, but I can't quite remember.
Oh, yeah. She was boring.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I think, is that when Poverty at the Table tries to do the thing
yes.
where she's like, well, the housewives.
Yes. And then Phaedra.
Phaedra, yeah, is like,
is
don't
so
do that. Don't try
either.
To do a housewives
I know.
Thing. And it's like, that was.
And I don't really know. You know, I'm not, I don't really, like, this is a really fun watch for me. I don't know these people that well. Like, I don't really watch Survivor. I haven't since the first few seasons. Even though, by the way, I know I would love all of these shows. I'm not like a reality show snob. Like, I know I would love The Housewives. I know I would love Survivor. I would love it too much. Honestly, I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like trying to I would be too obsessed. So I'm
I have to get
save
some
myself.
Boundaries. Yeah, that's
yeah, exactly.
how I kind of feel about Housewives. I've never fully like done it. There's
yeah.
been some seasons where a friend will be like, oh, watch this part
right.
of Atlanta with me. But I know if I sat
you
down and did it, I'd be all in. I would
so
that, be
that,
too much.
The first few seasons of Housewives, and this is so long ago. I feel like this is like Obama wasn't even in office yet. But I watched maybe like whatever the first few were, New York, Orange County, whatever they were. And I loved them and I couldn't get enough. And if there was a marathon on, I'd watch it even if I'd watched them again. And then something happened where it was one of those, I think I remember being in my little apartment in Hell's Kitchen and and it was one of those days where I probably should have been like doing something to further my career, memorizing a damn monologue or something like that.
Yeah.
And instead I watched like a marathon of Housewives and I just said, no more.
Yeah.
And I stopped and I realized when you're watching a reality show, maybe any show, The Bachelorette, whatever it is, you are so invested and it's so fun and it so feels so good in your brain. And when you stop watching it, it literally doesn't affect your life in any way, shape,
yeah.
or form.
It's truly like,
you
oh,
can
right.
just
it's,
stop.
Yeah.
It's
you
kind
can
of a,
just
it's empowering.
Stop. It's really great. That's...
You'll miss out on like a couple of conversations, but you know, it is, it's there when you need it. And when you don't want it, just take a step away. It literally
yeah.
won't affect your life in
it's
any
fine.
Way, shape, or form. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I had to do that with 90 Day Fiance. That was
all
mine where I would just hours and hours. And I was like, I'm going to step away for a
yes.
few seasons. And
totally.
Then just, and now
come
I'm
back.
Back. I mean, I'm totally
and that's
back.
The thing. I've done that with The Bachelor where I'm like, I'm done. And then I come back and it's like, no time has passed. So this is not listeners.
Oh, did you do The
listeners?
Golden Bachelor?
I didn't, but I've heard I would love it. But did it affect my life to not watch it?
No,
not really.
Not
yeah.
at all.
So
no.
for people listening, this is not judgment. This is empowerment, right? This is just if you're feeling stuck, like you're too deep in these reality holes where there's just it's every night. It's every night. You could watch something every night, you know?
Yeah.
You feel free to take a step away. It'll be there when you want it. It will not be there when you don't want it. It's really you're in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's your life. It's
yes.
it's your watch list.
So now back to this show that I'm absolutely devouring. I started it like 2 days ago. I mean, I guess I could be deeper in, but I've been doing a lot of press for WikiHole, which you should be listening to.
Yeah, which, yeah, listen to WikiHole.
Listen to WikiHole.
But Traders, but it does feel good to like kind of pace it out because it's so good that you're like, oh, I got to save this.
I agree. I have, that it would be a bummer to devour. In fact, well, we can get into Love is Blind, but there's something about Love is Blind being two episodes a week that is so frustrating, but so right.
So
because
right.
Otherwise I would watch it in one gulp.
Yeah. And if it was just one episode, it would be like, this isn't interesting enough for me to continue. Like
two is really smart.
Yeah. Two is when it's enough drama that builds up that you're like, ooh, what's going to go down?
They know what they're doing.
They know exactly how to hook us, and we're addicted.
Yeah, we are. We are freaking addicted. It's so dumb and I love it so much. And my sisters and I watch every single episode of every single season.
Are you caught up on the latest? Did you watch
Yeah.
That was one of the best hell-all, like, reunions they've ever done.
But Ashley, here's the funny thing. This is the thing with reality. And this is also the thing to go on back to WikiHole and my bad brain. You're like, it was one of the best, you know, like reveals or whatever. I'm like, I literally have no memory.
No memory.
Who was on the show? What happened? Who got married? Who didn't get married? It's just so for the moment of just full pleasure, full like enjoyment, just like it living in the moment of watching it. And then I shut my laptop and I never think about it again.
As soon as the season ends, I'm like, who was even on it?
Exactly.
Like, the next season, I'm like, I don't remember a single person who's still married. Don't know.
And they showed, you know, in the finale, I remember they showed like old cast members.
Oh yeah.
And some of them I recognized and some I was like, I've never seen this person.
One was like a couple and I was like, who are you?
Whoopsed.
What?
Excuse me? I
like
know.
No idea. Sorry, Netflix. Yeah. This isn't how the show works. We are trying to remember.
Give us a clip at least. Give us a clip of what they were, who they were, what they were,
and
the
like
most dramatic moment.
The only moment I really remember from the reunion is that I think his name was Trevor Travis, but he was the guy. He didn't marry anyone. He didn't get like chosen from the pods.
I know what you're talking about.
But that Chelsea girl almost picked him, and then they brought him in, and he had a girlfriend. And they were like reading his text messages. I was just like, did she give her your phone to the producers?
I know. Is that part of the deal? They did
every text message. They're like, but then on Friday,
what was up with that? How did they have that?
How did they?
Maybe
like,
the girl.
I think the girl had to be like, I can't believe this. Yeah. I'm sending this and ratting you out or something. And I love that he just sat there and had nothing to say.
He
and then was like, can I
that
leave?
That was dark. And not to be Tyra Banks, but I was rooting for him.
I was rooting for him. Yeah.
He just seemed like a big, dumb sweetie.
Sweetie. I was like, yeah, girl, be with that himbo. And I was like,
she was better with him.
Yeah.
Claire? No, I don't remember her name. Couldn't possibly.
Chelsea.
She was like, you know, whoever the guy was, the Southern guy that she was with, that never quite worked.
Jimmy? Seems right.
I was like, oh, I think the big dumb, you know, sweetie was your man. And then he really proved us wrong. Or maybe he didn't. Who knows all the...
With these shows, I'm always like, half of them go there with like an ex. They're like, if this doesn't work, I'm coming back, baby. It's like, okay.
And if it does work, we're taking our Instagram followers all the way to the top.
All the way. Open that Pilates studio, you're going to get so many follows.
Oh my God, that just reminded me of a past season, the Pilates instructor.
Yeah, cannot remember if they got married or not.
I think they did, but I don't think it lasted.
I remember him,
and I remember loving him.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
I think so. He was like the dude who was like, I'm really mature about my money. And then he only owned like plastic silverware. And
oh, yeah. Wait, who was that? I do remember that. See, this is not right. What we're doing right now.
That's exactly how I watch these.
Yeah, me too.
On my watch list, I've been doing a lot of Brain Dead TV too.
Not much is back right now.
You know, the good stuff is all like kind of coming right now. It's like there's Grey's Anatomy season 20.
Amazing. My friend Casey Mahaffey was just on it. Are you watching it?
Yes, I'm watching. Oh my gosh,
he was in an episode where like he hurt his elbow and his at a baseball game something.
Oh.
You know, what doesn't matter. I don't know. He hurt his elbow and his girlfriend or wife was pregnant and she got it.
Oh. And then the family is arguing over who gets MVP, and then the doctor's like, stop arguing. She just had a baby.
I love it.
Yeah, that was good.
I love that, you know, like every actor knows somebody on every episode, or you know, yeah. it's maybe it's like the LA version of
Law and Order a little
yeah,
bit.
Law and Order,
yeah, where it's like every background you're like, oh, there's that. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I will say in its 20th season, it's still good.
I believe it. I stopped watching Grey's early on, but I have so much love for it. I stopped watching it. I don't exactly remember. I mean, you know, I saw Denny the Ghost. I saw like,
okay, yeah.
I loved it at a point when George, is that T.R. Knight?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When he was like recently, maybe he got bad or something, because recently my sister and I were talking to somebody whatever. We're talking to somebody about how he was our favorite character, and they came back with like, "You're insane." I don't know where his character went. So you were still
good George, probably like not still crushing on Meredith.
So eventually they hook up.
Yeah, George and Meredith like hook up, and they just turn George into this like weird incel, and it's so strange. Like
that
he's
actor,
all like, "Meredith, you suck. You just used me for sex," and that's in blah. And she's just "What?"
No.
I thought
my George.
Yeah.
T.R. Knight.
He gets hit by a bus.
Okay, and good riddance.
Yeah, and then he's gone.
I have to say, I love that actor.
He's so good.
Love that actor. I want to see him in more things. I know he always works, but I think he is fantastic. He's like one of those actors. Sometimes when you are an actor, you watch other actors and you take their shit. He's one that I would take his shit. I watch him and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do that.
Did you see The Flight Attendant?
I haven't watched that.
On Max.
He's in that.
Yeah, he plays the brother, and he's really good in it.
I will watch that. That's got a great cast.
Yeah, it's so good. He plays like this gay brother with adopted kids who has like his own secrets. And it's great. One of the best parts watching the show, honestly.
Okay, great. I can see by your eyes that... That there's a lot going on with that character.
Yeah, yeah.
You weren't revealing. I'll watch that. I love how much TV you watch. TV, I say.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
TV, I say. I was just talking to the gals at the front desk about Severance. Which they hadn't watched, and I was sort of gave them a hard time about it. Like their aunt, I really felt aunt
you gotta
vibes.
Watch Severance.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they're, you know, I don't even know if they're wrapped yet for season two. But was just recently reminded by my little chat with them, but also talking to my husband and one of my best friends, Brandon Scott Jones from Ghosts and the other two and Good Place, about Severance is the type of show that, when the finale aired, whenever this was, 2 years ago or whatever, it was the type of like must watch TV for me that my husband and I texted Brandon, like, finale of Severance tonight, want to come over? And he was like, I'll be there in a half hour. It's like that type of show, like old school, where you have to like watch it together with friends and, you know.
And like immediately talk about it.
Yes. Have to watch it live. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the second it dropped.
No spoilers.
And now exactly.
It's 2 years later, and I don't remember a thing that
we're gonna happened. We're gonna have to fully rewatch.
I'm so excited. I saw them post like finally some clips.
Yeah,
and I'm still just like, I don't remember anything.
Not only
so
don't remember, but probably could use a rewatch anyway, because there was so much going on there.
Yeah, I'm sure I missed 90% of what was actually happening.
Yeah, that was a very thrilling. I just, you know, don't you just love it when like a new show kind of blows your mind?
Yeah,
there's so many.
When it still happens and you're like, we're still cooking with fire. Totally. Maybe, like, TV, totally. It's back.
TV, baby. I'm sure doesn't happen to you because this is your job. But I find that when the question, what are you watching right now, comes up, I'm like blank, even though we're watching. I love TV. I'm watching TV. I'm watching everything. TV.
Like, people are like, what? And I'm like, oh, right. Curb Your Enthusiasm and The Regime. Yeah. And The Great North is back.
Okay, you're naming some good ones that I haven't watched. I can be late with things. Like I'm watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Jodie Foster. What is it called? True Detective.
Oh, True
Detective.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were months ago. The conversation is over.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
And there's so much that people talk about. Yeah. And then I do this. I'll get so just into watching bad, like, true crime stuff that I don't even need to watch. And it's 4 hours later and I've watched like Evil Lives Here for forever. Or I just started this one. It's called Mean Girl Murders.
Okay. Sounds so good. Is it about like high school? No.
Oh yeah. It's about like high school mean girls murdering each other. Every episode starts with like a quote from a teen Mean Girls, like,
damn,
like line
fun.
Where it's like, I made you and I can destroy you.
Destroy it.
And it's sad because it's someone gets murdered and it's usually like,
and it's true.
The nice girl. It's always usually like, oh, she was the girl everybody loved. And this other girl was so jealous of her. She murdered her.
And this is true. It's a doc.
It's true. It's all like every episode is true. It's all they bring in like the relatives and people who covered it at the time to talk about it. But the funniest part is that they bring girls who were involved to interview and they're all still kind of mean girls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even though they've grown.
Even though they've grown, but they'll be talking about like someone they don't. And they're like, I mean, I thought she was a real weirdo.
You can
like,
just
I
see would it.
Just, yeah, and you're like,
you're mean.
Yeah, and it's like, yourself. Oh, okay, I see why you guys lured her to a park and accidentally beat her to death. That's
oh, my
the
God.
Part.
Oh, I don't know if I could watch that.
Sometimes you
simply can't believe that murder is real.
So yeah, that's what I feel a lot of times.
There's a lot of murder.
When I'm watching like Evil Lives Here, I'm like, really? Really? How? And every time they're like, really? Evil is everywhere. Yes. And I'm just like, but really?
But is it? Okay, why? I just thought of something I want to watch.
Ooh, what?
But it's not. It's less murder and more horny.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay, it's Julianne Moore playing a queen or a royal or something. And then who's the like cute, hot, young actor Nicholas something.
The hot young guy now that everyone loves.
That everybody's loving. So there, I don't know anything other than the trailer.
Yeah.
But she's either a royal or wants to be, and he's either a prince. I'm literally making this up. Or they're trying to be, so and they kind of like sleep their way to the top.
She's his mom, and she like knows the king is gay, and
so
like
she's like you go
forcing her son to be like this courtesan and like tempt him so they can like get higher rank in society.
Okay, that sounds fun. Let's watch it.
Yeah, and I think also they aren't like people don't know they're related. I don't know, but absolutely need to
That's
see
next.
That.
That's on the queue.
That is absolutely on the watch list.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Anything. And you were saying The Regime, is that what it's called?
Yes, The Regime.
I haven't
watched
that yet. How
Kate
have I not
Winslet?
Watched that? Kate Winslet is in a show and I'm not watching it. Make it make sense.
Well, it's I think because people haven't totally been enjoying it, sadly. It's a show that it's a 30-minute comedy. It's clearly doing a lot of, you know, satire and politics, and it kind of wants to be this weird version of 1984, but the script just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, you are clearly supposed to hate Kate Winslet's character, but then they try to make her sympathetic. And it's one of those shows where either like you get to the last episode and you're like, okay, now this was all worth it, and it wraps up, or you're like, okay, well, I watched that.
Okay, well, I spent some hours watching that.
Spent some time with that one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do want to watch it because I do love her.
Yeah. And then last season of Curb right now, which by the time you're listening to this, will be over.
Oh, my God. Mourn.
Yeah.
Mourn it. How many seasons of that?
I think 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like it's been on for 12 years. So about that many seasons.
Are you a huge Curb fan?
Yeah. I mean, I've been watching the newer seasons, but I had started when I was like a kid. My mom, like, I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Totally.
And then later I was kind of like, oh, yeah, this is funny. And I'm one of those people who's kind of like, it's time for it to end. Like, some
shows, and they shouldn't, even when we want them to. When did I discover that?
Yeah. Well, what about like The Good Place?
The Good Place
that was when people wanted to go forever.
It was huge.
And it really was this thing where I think that they had kind of come up with a finite idea of how they wanted it to go.
I remember being like really for myself and for my, you know, my daily life, my job. I wanted it to go forever. But as a fan of it, when Mike Schur said that we were going to end it in season four, I remember being like, that is so badass. That is such a good move. Like, I'm sad, and that's probably a good thing that I'm sad. You know?
Yeah.
It's so easy for a TV show to like overstay its welcome. You know what I mean? Overstay its welcome.
To
sort of like peter out. Or I was so proud of that show and so happy with every episode, every season. I just wanted it to like remain at a high, and I really do think that they nailed it with that last season.
Absolutely. That's still one of my favorites to go rewatch.
Whenever I'm just like,
I need a comfort show, it is.
Yes.
That's like my weekend. And then 3 days later, I'm like, oh God, I watched it all again.
I'm so happy to hear that. I've actually been hearing that a lot, that people just kind of have it on all the time. Like in a comfort show sort of way. My niece Georgia was saying that she watches it like every night before bed. And I just have heard that a lot, that it's just one of those ones that people like to watch over and over again. I've only watched it the one time it was on.
Oh, wow.
I know. And then during the pandemic, I kept saying to myself, okay, I'm going to watch it again. And there's just something, there's some weird block. Like, I love it so much. It's a little more heightened for me than just watching a show that I love, obviously.
Yeah. Do you like watching things you've been in?
You know, like, no, yes and no. It's like a weird little roller coaster of, it actually is helpful to watch it more than once, because usually when you watch something you're in the first time, it's almost inevitably horrible. It's a bad experience. And you're kind of watching it like through your fingers, like trying not to see it. And you're only noticing the shit that you did wrong. And, you know, it's a lot, very layered for me. And then when I watch it the second time, I can kind of see the bigger picture. But also, I think, to be honest, I love that show so much, and I'm so proud of it and happy. I think it might make me sad to rewatch it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think all the memories, I'd imagine, it's just kind of like, just seems like it was a fun show to shoot.
It sure as hell was. It was a very fun show to shoot. I absolutely adore those people, you know, in front of the camera, behind the camera, the writers. It just was I was just with Kristen Bell the other day, and we were talking about it and kind of bragging to the people around us. We were kind of like, you have no idea how good we had it. It was the best group of people. Every day was good.
I would absolutely brag about. I mean, did like the Universal Studios tour when the set was still up, and I got to like take pictures on it and like see some of the pun sets. And I was just like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened.
Yeah.
Like, I am here.
Yes.
The Good Place. You
I'm
guys are
at
jealous.
The Good Place. I know. I remember like when we wrapped, I had to go pick something up at Universal or whatever. And I had my dog with me, and I was like, I'm going to illegally park on the set. And, you know, the show was wrapped. I wasn't on it anymore. The show was done. But I had my dog with me, and I kind of like snuck her onto the set and just like roamed around the sets. And it really felt like, it was like bring your daughter to work day. That's how I felt. It felt very like, this is where mommy goes when she leaves you.
This is where I am.
You're touching the same ground I touch.
Did you take anything from the set?
Not enough, honestly. Like that, I'm kind of learning that. And especially, God damn it, with League of Their Own, I would have taken so much. I would have taken Greta's pinky ring. I would have taken the Peach's jacket that we only wore in like one episode, scene.
I was going to say, the details in those costumes, they were perfect. Like I was like, that is exactly what the Rockford like pin looked like.
Yes. Tracy was the costume department. I mean, it was so much vintage stuff, just like, attention to detail and perfectionism was that the costume department, they were perfectionists in such a good way. like really a good way. So much so that we were like wearing these old cleats that were destroying our feet. They were like, it's so funny to use props and costumes from the 40s because you go like, oh, I see why they changed this.
Yeah, like,
I see why they better at the this. Gloves got bigger and more flexible, and the cleats, you know, the cleat would like, the pointy part of the cleat would like push up into our feet. You know, we would be like limping. And then finally we were like, Tracy, let's just fake it. Let's just get new cleats and make them look old. And she was like, you guys suck.
Yeah.
But I would have taken a lot of stuff from League if I knew that we weren't going back. But from The Good Place, one of the producers, our executive producer, Morgan Sackett, I went to the offices after we had wrapped, and he was like, come here, like, I got a secret for you. And we went into this room, and I'll call it the kill button, the button that like the big button on the beach that they would press to kill Janet. This big, huge, I don't know, 5 foot. It's like in a cement block. It's huge and heavy. He was like, did you drive here today? Do you have access to a trunk of your car? Because you can take this. So we like got a dolly and put it in the trunk of my car. So that the kill button is in my office at home right now.
I love that.
And one more thing from The Good Place. I'm not like I'm not a great gift giver, but every once in a while I am. Like, you know, yearly Christmas or birthdays I'm not good at, but every once in a while I'll get like a little like, oh, I just got the perfect thing. So for the wrap gift for the first season, okay, let me just think of what it was. In the finale of the first season, Kristen as Eleanor would like, she wrote Find Chidi in a sort of like a, she has a moment where she knows she's about to be, I don't want to give anything away, whatever. It's been out for 30 years.
At this point, if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't watched, that's on you.
That's on you. She's about to be something where she won't have her memory anymore. So she is trying to sort of like fix the system or whatever for her when she gets rebooted, whatever. I'm trying to like not reveal by revealing too much. So she writes Find Chidi, and then she puts it in Janet, my mouth. And that's the way she's going to like save her future self. And we did many takes of that. So I had all of these crumpled up papers that said Find Chidi in my mouth. And so usually the props person would take them and, you know, dispose of them. But I talked to our props person and said, I'm going to keep these. Like, let me just keep them. So I kept all of these, you know, saliva soaps, Find Chidis, and I framed them all and I gave them to the cast and the producers.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And one for myself too. So I have a spitty Find Chidi framed in my office.
That is so cool. I think that's maybe the coolest, like.
I felt really good about it.
Yeah, like, gift I've ever heard.
Yeah, I was really happy with that gift.
A plus, yeah. Oh my
Thank
gosh.
You. Thank you.
That's such a good one.
Yeah.
Did you take anything from Broad City? That's another one, yeah. You know? From back in the day.
From back in the day. I know. Isn't it funny that that's back in the day now?
I know.
But it totally is.
The kids
really
talk
is.
About it like it's a vintage show now. Like that and Girls, well, they're like, gosh, it would have been so cool to be alive in the 2010s.
Imagine being alive.
Like, right.
It's funny because it was so specific to the time too. So maybe it really does feel of a moment, you know?
Yeah.
And they were doing, I do feel like Abby and Alana were doing things on that show that hadn't really been done on TV before in that way, especially with two, you know, women. And so it really felt, it just is such a specific time. God damn it, I love that show so much. I kept my, you know, I played Gemma. I was a trainer with, at the, what was the name of the, the gym. How
the
could
gym,
I?
Yeah.
Solstice.
Yeah, Solstice, which I love because I worked at a spin studio at the time as a janitor.
So you knew. Oh, as a janitor, you were Abby.
Yeah, I was cleaning showers and just being like, how are people this disgusting?
Totally. So Paul W. Downs and I played trainers, whereas Abby was the cleaner. And so I have my trainer shirt, which I kind of like want to wear. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a black tank top and says trainer. I'm going to figure out a place to wear it.
People like who know costumes. Will know. It'll be like one That's of those right. like if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. I definitely want to be keeping more stuff from sets. I think I was such a little good girl when in the first few shows, like I didn't want to, you know, bend the rules, and now I'm like, keep it all.
Keep it all. Like, yeah, what are they gonna do? It's just gonna sit somewhere and then they'll auction it off at some point.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
take it. You,
I did have
you were in the show, you deserve it.
I did have a awkward moment where just on a show that I did sort of recently where I loved what I was wearing And I talked and I just said, I mentioned it to the producer and he was like, keep it. You can keep it. And so I didn't tell, like an idiot, I didn't tell the costumer that I had been told that. So then I got like a frantic text, very sweet. You could tell they were like, oh God, she just stole this shit. But they wanted to really phrase it nicely, like just checking to see if maybe it fell into your bag or your car. And I was like, oh my God, no, I'm so sorry. The producer said I could keep it. But learned a lesson there.
That's amazing. I hope she like had probably told all her friends like she steals.
No, exactly. Sullied my name, my Hollywood name, Darcy Carden,
stealer of costumes.
Put a camera in her trailer. She steals shit.
I would steal all the costumes from really good around. No? Sorry,
it's but hard. Like, yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah,
I gotta talk to Tracy about maybe getting in that warehouse. I should have kept my stupid old glove.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I say stupid just because it was really hard to catch with gloves from the 40s, but yeah, I love the glove.
You watch and you're like, why impossible. Did they do
it's
that?
It's like a kitchen mitt, a short kitchen mitt.
Yeah.
They had no like flexibility. It was like you had to use your other hand to catch the ball. Otherwise, you could not, the way like, now you can just catch the ball with a glove. You needed two hands to catch it. Not good.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, everybody has to listen to Wiki Hole.
Yes.
Your new podcast where comedians try to figure out the weird connections between different Wikipedia pages, which I need to listen to also beyond because I'm obsessed.
Yeah, it's so fun. The guests are basically the funniest, coolest people, you know, the comedians and actors and musicians. Like we just had the band Muna on for an episode,
which is
really funny because they're a band. I had to keep reminding them that they were playing against each other, you know? They kept being like, so what? Are we going with A? We're going to go with A?
I was like, you're...
No, maybe. I'm like, no, you're playing against each other. Yeah, exactly. But it's been so fun to do these shows. We have a bunch of amazing guests coming up. Some really exciting guests. I almost want to tell you, but some past co-stars, perhaps, are coming up. Maybe some people we've mentioned on this very podcast.
Maybe was in The Good Place.
Maybe.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
And maybe some people that were in Broad City, perhaps. Maybe some people that were in, I don't know, Barry, maybe.
Okay.
Oh, okay, we're going to have some fun.
Yeah. We're having fun.
Really good guests. We have had so much fun. I you know, listen and play along. See how smart you are. See how good you are at this trivia.
Yeah. I mean, I'm obsessed with trivia and I'm about to go be obsessed with this.
Yay.
Darcy, thank you so much for joining TV Club today. Other than WikiHole, where can people follow you? Anything you want to plug?
My address is... No, I'm just kidding. Can you imagine? you can follow me home. You can follow me on, you know, hold on. What's it called? Instagram and Twitter. just my name, Darcy Carden. And
did you know about... I wanted to ask you, did you know when you went viral on Twitter like a few months ago? It was when A League of Their Own came out and everyone was talking about how amazing you were. It was a good reason to go viral.
Okay, right.
But because of X and how dumb it is now, they could not get the apostrophe right in your name. So every trending one was just like Arcy Carden.
I got some very lovely screenshots of that. Yeah. And at first, I was like, what the hell am I looking at? Because I couldn't understand. Whatever. It's so dumb. But I was really like, there's someone out there with my name. Like, I couldn't understand that could be the same thing as my... It was very funny. And it also just so funny that somehow X or Twitter can't recognize an apostrophe.
Yeah. And that was, what got them to change it. Because they were like, oh, yeah, we should probably fix that.
Oh, great. Good. I'm so happy to do anything I can to help the Twitter nation.
Yes, thank
X.
you. Thank
Love
you. We're grateful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
What a pleasure.
It's been great. TV Club, you know, go check out some new shows. We got Loot back on Apple TV with just so many people I love in it. Joel Kim Booster killing it in that show.
Booster,
so funny.
Maya Rudolph. Actually, not to bring around back to WikiHole, but Nat Faxon is in this week's episode.
I love him.
Yeah, he's great. And we have some other, Ron Funch is in an episode coming up. Joel, trying to get Maya. She's a busy girl, but she'll do it.
She's busy, but you got to get her. It's I love Loot. Season 2. Watch it. Palm Royale, also on Apple TV with Kristen Wiig. I know that I was a little sketchy on the first episode. I love it now. Okay. I love
Yay.
It now. We're on episode 5 and I love it now. I get on board with it. And then other than that, you know, Grey's Anatomy, keep watching it, because I'm going to keep talking about it every single week that the season is airing. So listeners, make sure that you do that. That's your homework. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar and produced by Matt Apodaca. Our theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say, and let us know what you think. And tell your friends, family, anybody. We got a lot of TV recs for a lot of people. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
Hi there, this is Mary Holland. You may know me from Happiest Season, or Veep, or The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window. Or you may know me as Janice Cramps. Huh? I want to wish Comedy Bang Bang a happy 15th anniversary. Wow, 15 years old. Comedy Bang Bang is about to get its driver's permit. I'm so excited for it. And I'm, you know, really grateful because Comedy Bang Bang has brought me so much joy as a listener and a performer. And I'm just very grateful for this community that we have in Comedy Bang Bang. You can hear me and a lot of other very funny people on Comedy Bang Bang wherever you get your podcasts. So what are you waiting for? Tune in.